Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
There is a language of universal communication that flows across borders, beyond belief systems, and between the species. It is a language without words. It is the wellspring of life itself, and it is a language that could save our planet, if you let it. Guided by the sacred and iconic ultra-rare white lions of Timbavati in the deep heart of southern Africa, Linda Tucker has translated the language of the lions into a series of lion-hearted leadership lessons for humanity. You are invited to join Linda in one united roar for lions and all of nature.
This is Linda Tucker roaring at you from the heart of white lion ancestral territory. You might hear the lions joining me at some point in our interview. Hear lion messages, and the hyenas and the jackals and the leopards are all part of creation, and we listen very carefully to their message because they link us back into creation. Well, I'm going to be going on to introduce you to a very lion-hearted lady who is actually in human form, and she's a high-flying captain of industry. We're going to get to Isabel Doppelreiter in a moment. But before we do so, I'd like to connect in with all of you, because listening to this, you may be anywhere in the globe. You may be actually in the traffic. It could be the end of a very long, hectic day. Wherever you are, I'm inviting you to connect into the heartland, to connect into the heart, to connect into the great heart of creation, which links us to the purpose of being. And to do so, if you are in the traffic, by the way, please do keep your eyes open, but I'm going to be taking you through a very quick guided meditation just to link all of us to the great lion heart. So to do that, drop into your heart center. Become aware of your double heartbeat. Marking time on the planet, marking time in your lifetime. Visualize that you are breathing with your heart, and that as you breathe in, you are breathing in the gold of creation, the gold of dawn, the gold of sunlight. Now, you may be in the traffic, so I ask you to visualize beyond the traffic, to visualize that spark of dawn that converts all negativity into light. And that includes the breath, our out-breath, as we breathe carbon dioxide back into the system, so the sun converts that back into light. It does so by giving its life force to the trees, to the plants, to the habitat around us, which take carbon dioxide, convert it through the spark of sunlight back into oxygen. That is the miracle of life on this planet. The trees need us just as we need the great life. And when we remember that, we realize that we are connected with nature. Through our double heartbeat, visualize the breathing in of the spark of oxygen and the releasing of anything that is heavy and dark in your life. Let the carbon dioxide out, knowing that it will be recycled back into life. And with the out-breath, let out any heaviness, any darkness, any despair, any disenchantment, any disillusionment, any self-doubt, any depression. Let it out with the out and breathe in the gold of creation. As you let your out-breath out, visualize it converting into light and breathing the light back in. And so, with this frequency of light, with the frequency of heart, of lion-heartedness, we open our connection today on the frequency of heart. Thank you, everyone. You know that lion-hearted leadership training opens hearts to enable future leaders from all walks of life to become powerful agents of change, to existing paradigms and to champion new approaches to life. I wrote in my book on lion-hearted leadership that fear is constant. Live in a man-made world that can cause for doubt, fear, disillusionment, and depression. Trying to reason ourselves out of it simply doesn't help. Cold logic fails in the face of fear. The only way to overcome fear is to work with the deep heart principle that ultimately guides our universe and represents the interconnection between all things. Our nature is interconnected with Mother Nature, and that is the basis of the 13 laws of lion-hearted leadership. How would you define lion-heartedness? Well, it is the quality of fearlessness. But it's not inspired by bravado or stupidity, you know, hurling yourself into the conference room or hurling yourself into battle. Lion-heartedness is inspired by love and respect for the natural world that empowers us to transform the human world. Now, I recognize this quality in an amazing lady who is our special guest today. Isabel Dobbelreuther is literally a high-flying captain of industry. Isabel, welcome today.
Hi, Linda. It's good to hear you.
It's good to hear you and that amazing, strong voice. Are you speaking from Austria, your homeland?
Well, I'm currently actually right now in Italy, just looking out on the ocean, but not too far from my place. It's about four-hour drive, but in the middle of nature. I thought that would be the perfect spot for this interview.
Beautiful. And we know that nature is really one consciousness wherever you are around the planet. I'm speaking to you from the heart of White Lion Territories, as you know. But there is Isabel in a beautiful scenic view overlooking Mother Ocean. And wherever you are on the globe, it is one consciousness from creation. So, Isabel, I've mentioned you as the high-flying captain of industry. Tell us what you do.
Oh, I am a high-flying captain, just as you pointed it out. I've been flying for 10 years now. I started as a co-pilot 9 years ago, and I've just upgraded to captain about a year ago. And, I'm soaring the skies.
Amazing. And your career is based in a city environment with all the responsibilities for human lives. You flying travelers from city to city, and you live in one of the most vibrant and important cities in Europe, yet you have a very strong connection with nature, as we've seen. And furthermore, you've supported conservation causes, such as the Global White Lion Protection Trust. So, can you describe how your love and respect for nature has influenced your life?
Well, I've always been drawn to Africa, like since I can think back. Even my parents don't know where this feeling came from, but I've always spoken about Africa and that I want to move there eventually. So I'm glad that with the Lion Protection Trust, I actually managed to find a spot that I can call home now, and that drags me back every couple of months and brings me back to the heartlands and lets me be with the lions. And nature had and still has an incredible impact on my life. It's grounding me when I need it to, which doesn't always mean that I want it to ground me. Then it just happens when I walk the dogs or I'm out with the horses. So nature has a big impact and is a great part of my life and has helped me in so many ways with my profession, where I'm mostly dealing with man-made machines and I'm surrounded by technicians and materials. So nature is just my way of finding myself again.
Amazing. That makes total sense. And then going further into this quality of lion-heartedness, which you so need in your career. But in lion-hearted leadership training, it's defined as the quality of fearlessness, you know, that comes from love and respect for the natural world that empowers you to change the human world. How would you describe that, how you changed your world through this quality of fearlessness that nature has given you?
Well, there have been many moments of fear during my training, and I'm not saying that this is ending soon. I guess it's just situations that bring up the fear in me again. But it's me grounding myself and finding myself as such a unicorn in a man-driven society of flying, that lion-heartedness and the quality of fearlessness has shown me that no matter what life throws towards me, that I can handle it, and I've been handling it so far. And I find my inner strength, as I said, when I walk the woods and when I'm within nature.
That's amazing. And given that, you know, you're in a massive, very powerful kind of environment, very aggressive, and where women are not always recognized for more than their equality, for their gifts. And you've been on that own, your own unique path for a long time as a highly successful commercial pilot in a notoriously male environment. So I'd like to take you to that very first law of lion-hearted leadership, which is about origination, following your own unique blueprint. Part of being original is to acknowledge those who have inspired you. You know, are there teachers, mentors, role models who you'd like to acknowledge who have opened up the path before you, and you'd like to acknowledge them now, you know, in this path of life?
Well, there have been, or there was one special female pilot that I've met a long time ago when I was still a flight attendant. And she was the first one to actually showed me that it is possible to become a pilot, even when you're a woman. And I'm grateful and thankful for that, and even more thankful that we're in the same company now and that from time to time we get to sit together and talk. So that's been really helpful on my side, and I've defined it as my mission to empower other women and to be a role model and to help girls to see that they can be whatever they want to be. And even if it's flying, engineering, being a full-time mom, a teacher, it's up to them, but I just want to show them that there are choices and that they are free to choose. And my paw print should be that I'm showing, that I'm leading the way, what others have done before me, that I can follow them and bring even more girls along.
That's so important. That can you share with us a particular example of where you know, where possibly women were not treated equally in that environment, and that you've taken that first step to opening things up for women?
Well, I've just actually had a colleague call me today, as there's a lot of female colleagues that tend to call me whenever things get tough or when they encounter a rather big discussion with a male colleague. So they tell me and talk to me about it. And one of the most important things I did so far, I think, within my company was to show up the Me Too campaign, to say that Me Too can happen even on the flight decks and to be more responsible for our female colleagues. And that was a big step for all of us. And it makes me sad that people still, or girls still, call me to tell me about differences that they're having with male colleagues. But it also makes me proud that they trust me enough and that they think that we can win this fight together.
So it has been a little bit of a fight, that old, it's the old equalizing, you know, again, with the training of lion-hearted leadership, so much of it is to bring things into proper alignment. We always talk about alignment, and that mm-hmm. includes between male, you know, men and women. And right relationship between men and women. You know, so with that law of origination, the very first law of lion-hearted leadership, it's aimed at assisting people to fulfill their own unique purpose and take up their rightful role with confidence, originality, and uncompromising clarity, which you clearly have done. So what would you say you do differently from this amazing role model who you acknowledge? The key to me with originality is people often feel that, you know, insecure people feel that they don't want to acknowledge others who have achieved, because that reflects on, you know, on them perhaps not being such an achievement. And yet, true achievers are not afraid to acknowledge others who have influenced them. That is part of their originality. So, you know, you've described this mentor of yours, and yet you've done things in your own way. Can you speak to that?
So you mean what have I done differently than the role model that I've been following did? I think what she did is she approached me as just the two of us when we were flying. She told me about her education, how she became a pilot. She listened to my thoughts or doubts that I would have. What I've done differently now is that I've opened it up much wider, I would say. I kind of stepped out on the media. I was available for interviews. I showed myself publicly as a pilot. I think that's what I've done differently. Although I was afraid, and I'm still afraid when I do it, because there have been a lot of negative comments, but I think I've just done it more publicly. I've made it to my mission to actually talk to girls, even if they don't come to me and approach me and ask me questions. I thought I'd rather do it over radio and television and kind of force myself into the living rooms of loving dads that have their kids, their daughters on their knees and watching this, to be a role model that has to be seen.
So, I mean, that is an incredible step, to be prepared to be in the spotlight and to be in the public eye and all the challenges that come with that, people questioning you. That is a huge commitment, and I really commend that, you know, having experienced a great deal of that myself. It is not, it's not an easy decision to make, because everything you do is under scrutiny. So I really thank you for taking that up on behalf of other aspirant pilots worldwide. And so let's move from that law of origination and how you originated and things in your own way with that amazing lion-hearted spirit. At the opposite end of the scale, in lion-hearted leadership, the law of collaboration, you know, and we call it the seventh law of collaboration, which is to find your pride. It's about taking pride in yourself and sharing your successes with a powerful group. So what are the highlights of of both your life and career that make you proud? And who is your pride of people, those that you can share these triumphs with, and whose successes you are proud of?
I think one of the highlights, as I mentioned before, is just becoming this female role model that I was kind of always looking for and waiting for to show up. So really being publicly about it and to show myself, I think that's one of the highlights. And I'm really glad that there is already a lot of young girls that try to get in touch with me and ask me questions about flying. And I think I've opened up their way of seeing there is a choice. So that makes me proud. And I think that's a huge success for what my original life plan is supposed to be. And who do I share this with? Who is my pride? It's my close circle of friends from around the globe that I met when I came to see the Lions, that I met when I did my education in Canada. It's those supporting people around me who have inspired me, caught me when I fell, and friends who changed the world in their own unique way and who I've always supported. And that's my pride. And it's just been more and more established over the last couple of years and just got closer and more loving and more caring. And that's probably that's the highlight of my life. It's finding my pride.
That's so beautiful, finding your pride and all that that means. You know, lions are not shy of being proud. That's the lion word. And, you know, so many religions would have us believe that pride is before the fall. That's not the case. They're talking about arrogance, you know, thinking, you know, only about yourself. But real pride, lion prides are totally reliant on those around them. And they, you know, they glow with pride in each other's successes. So what you've described is exactly that sense that, you know, it doesn't have to be constantly competitive. There's a much more powerful law at work in nature, which we can learn from, which is about finding your pride. And you exemplify beautifully, you know, as part of this Aviatrix working group of all women pilots, and then a great supported support friend. So it's really so beautiful, Isabel. We are going to go on to talk about those times when things don't work so well, and you know life is so full of challenges, and some of which only make sense many years later. And they're all significant and all part of your unique journey. Personal growth, and when you recognize them as such, they become opportunities rather than threats. So lion-hearted leadership trains us in how to transform negative situations to positive outcomes. And so I'm going to ask you to think a little bit on that. I know it's much more intimate to be sharing those things that don't work out positively, but we would very much appreciate you actually sharing with us those times that are not pure success, and I know that we'll have a great deal to learn from your sharing. So off to the break, if you come back and let's go deeper. Thank you, Isabel.
Thank you.
Edesia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods. Edesia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edesia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit edesiaglobal.org.
If you're living with fear and stress in your life, there is an answer.
If you're ready for a better way, step through The Doorway.
The Doorway is a multimedia online course for transcending fear, transforming relationships, accessing inner guidance, and experiencing more inspiration and trust in your life.
To learn more about these online courses based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles and David Hoffmeister, go to acimcourses.com.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book, have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
So we're back. I speak to you from the heart of White Lion Territory, and my dear friend Isabel speaks from the other side of the globe, in Italy, overlooking the ocean. We have land and ocean connected with one lion heart. Isabel, thank you for sharing your life with us, and we're going to be moving on to a much more personal, deeper reflection on how you deal with those times that don't go so well, like, you know, overcoming your fear. How do you deal with self-doubt, negativity? Can you share a time with us in which you doubted yourself the most, and how you faced up to it and how you conquered it?
The time I doubted myself the most, you've been there, you've seen me. It's almost 2 years ago now in the summer when I joined you for the Lionhearted Leadership Camp in the Heartlands, just shortly after my divorce. That was probably the moment where I've doubted myself the most, and that was probably the lowest point in my life. But just being there in the nature, in the Heartlands, with the lions, being with you guys and having you help me through this has strengthened me immensely. So I never even thought I could have that power back. And one of the most incredible things that happened during this time was that being in a male-dominated industry and having the lion as the male lion always has this picture in front of me and adoring even when I was a child, it was the time at the Lionhearted Leadership, that moment when I realized that I am not a lion, I'm a lioness, and that I got to unleash her and let her out. And that was one of the biggest things I've ever done and probably helped me the most that anything has ever helped me and helped me overcome the fear and the self-doubt. And it was a quite interesting journey for me, so that valley of fear, but I've got out of it. And it was finding the lioness that helped me fight the doubts and helped me fight the fear.
Beautifully said. And what I found in those moments of deepest depression and, you know, real hopelessness, which happens, you know, in the conservation world as well, sometimes just at the absolute pit of despair, I work with that second law of appreciation. Even if I can't imagine that I have anything to be thankful for, I just start with those words, thank you, thank you, thank you, and try to identify what I do have to be grateful for. And then, you know, it's really looking at the glass half full rather than half empty, and recognizing that you don't want to waste your life. Have you had to resort to that kind of recognition of what you do have to be grateful for in the midst of the pain? Because we won't go into the detail of your divorce, but it was an incredible shock, and was a great love who you had been dedicated to for many years. Did you find that you could find appreciation for your partner in the midst of, you know, betrayal and all the grief and self-doubt that goes with it?
I did. And once again, I think the starting point was being at Nyanga's throne with you and May back then, having a little meditation together and letting the divorce, basically letting it go. And I tried to make it my habit after that day to get up in the morning every day and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, and think about all the things that are important to me and that I'm blessed with. And we're all humans, and I see myself not really doing it every day. And it kind of became a habit of once a week, and then it got less again. But when I do see myself in trouble and when I do feel maybe a bit depressed or sad about something else, I do remember the words, thank you. And then I do get up in front of the mirror and I do tell myself what I'm thankful for. And there are so many things. And I think we tend to forget about how incredible it is that we're healthy, that we have a loving family, that we have caring friends, that we get up and we can see the sunrise, that we have eyesight, that we can feel, that we can touch, that we can taste. And those are all things that we should be grateful for. And even when I was at the lowest point, there's always things that you can be thankful for. And if somebody says it's not true, that's a lie. You can always find something, even as small and as normal you see it, and you don't even think about appreciating it. But it gave me back a lot of power just to use the simple tool of thanking the world for what it gave me and for what I have.
I must say, I find that second law of lion-hearted leadership so helpful, you know, in the darkest moments. And if I could just share with everyone, Nyanga's throne is an incredible place in the heart of the heartland, which belongs to an amazing white lioness. It is a sacred site, and it was there where Isabel made her marriage vows. So to return with such courage to that site, you know, at a time of divorce, was truly exemplary. I mean, how she emerged like a phoenix from the ashes and took flight, literally, is a role model, I would say, to any woman who has, has seen betrayal and who is turning their life around. So I applaud you, Isabel, and I really saw how you achieved that against the odds. And so I'm going to move on to the 13th law of lion-hearted leadership, which we regard as the most formidable law because it shows us how to get rid of anything that is no longer serving us, letting go of baggage, and shows us those times when zero tolerance is the best and maybe the only approach. And that is the law of elimination. It's in lion language, we say, cleanse your kingdom. Can you describe how an occasion when you've had to resort to this law and how you've had to clean up and move forward?
I actually do that a lot of times. Like, I had a big cleansing just a couple of years ago where I tried to get rid of certain feelings and doubts that kept re-entering my mind in certain situations. So that was one of the biggest cleaning duties that I did within my kingdom. And obviously sometimes it's people that you lose during this cleaning process. It's or lose people that you let go, if I put it that way. The 13th law, the elimination, the cleanse of your kingdom, I usually take advantage of whenever I have little doubtful moments when I have to go on the simulator, which we have to we have to do every couple of months to keep our license. And it's always a situation of getting tested, and there's always instructors watching you. And that really tends to stress me out a lot. But it's the day before that when I try to meditate and get rid of feelings and doubts and actually clean my mind and my kingdom, as I call it, and also my heart of any feelings that would hinder me or give me a hard time to actually showing my full potential and to show what I can do.
I think that's very well expressed, Isabel. People, the way you gauge people, do they drain you or do they fill you up? And that you know, that's a good measurement of those who truly deserve your pride, who truly deserve coming into your inner circle of people you can be proud of. So, yeah, and that law of elimination helps us open the way to very clear, lion-hearted action in removing what doesn't serve us from our lives daily. So I'd like to move on to the 11th law of liberation, which is all about uncaging your gifts. You know, so many of us have a talent or a strength or a gift that we are afraid to express, and either because people have criticized that, or we sought approval from so-called authorities. Can you share with us a talent or strength of yours that has been critical to your success, and what it took to free up that talent?
I think growing up and hearing from my parents that I was this little character that would just never give up, I figured at one point that was a good talent, I should keep that, and then I realized that it might be another good talent to actually see when it is good to keep moving, when it is good to keep on fighting, and to also realize when it's not worth the fight, when it is okay to give in, when it is okay to move on. And I think that has been my biggest strength so far, and my talent, to realize how far to keep going, like when to stop, turn around, find another challenge, or when it is good and when it is wanted to continue. And I think that's led me to the position where I am today.
So that's one of your gifts, is absolute determination, and then recognizing when to turn around. So I've got to ask this question. Has that ever come from being afraid of being too successful? Because people fear failure, but many of us fear success as well. Have you ever had that experience?
Yes. Yeah, it's funny. Nobody has ever asked me that, but it's been within me for a long time. I just thought, or I'm still thinking, that if I am too successful, what's going to happen at the point where I'm not succeeding any longer? How deep can I fall? Like, what's going to happen? Like, how going to... I guess it's just human to think how people are going to look at me, what they're going to say. It shouldn't bother me. It shouldn't bother any of us what others say or do, but it's just, it is human. It's what we tend to do. We tend to think or to try to figure out what others think of us and say about us, but that's one of the fears I had, yeah? What if I'm successful and then eventually, how deep am I going to fall if it's not my choice to stop, or if it's not my choice to not succeed any longer? But I guess there's no answer to that. I'm just thinking I'll be fine. I'll be fine. It doesn't matter if I fall. I'm just gonna get up again. I'll be fine. I shouldn't worry about that.
So with that message to yourself, what advice for our listeners to free up their own, you know, their own gifts and talents and strengths, so that they're not afraid of being successful?
Well, I think we came to this world with a certain plan, and we are here to fulfill it, and we've all been given what it's needed to fulfill this, and it's just our own mind blocking it, and deep within us, within our hearts, we eventually will figure out what we're here to do, and what our plan is, and what our role is in this world, in this universe, and we just have to let it out and free ourselves from any doubts and thoughts, what society is going to think and how society is going to behave if I'm not perfectly fitting in the role that I was supposed to fit in. And I had a hard and long way in this male-dominated industry. And I've asked myself, I think 1,000 times, what is it that I'm doing here? And what am I trying to achieve? And is it worth it? And now looking back, I'm like, I know it has been worth it. And the only reason why I could continue was because it's my life's plan. I'm supposed to do this. And if you find the strength within you, and if it's not letting you sleep at night, if you keep dreaming about it, then it's what you're supposed to do. And then you have to unleash it, uncage it, and let it out, and just go for it. And it's going to be so amazing when you're done, or when you're on your path, and you feel so free, and it's like you feel different. It's all this pressure is gone because you're finally doing your truth. You're doing what you're supposed to do.
That is essential to your fulfillment, to being on your path, and that's what the training's all about. And you know, one way in which one recognizes that one has a unique purpose, as you point out, is with that 12th law of aspiration, which is your star identity. Most people have forgotten that, you know, we are connected with a whole higher plan. But when you're on your path, you feel fulfilled and recognize that this is your plan. So one of the things we do in Lionhearted Leadership Training is we always look at your astrology, because that's one way of recognizing that we all have star potential. And then we also always sleep under the stars, because sleeping on the earth under the stars connects us with a plan that is much greater than ourselves.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization, Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. And it's on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come join Deborah Beauvais and young co-hosts every Wednesday at 4 p.m. and 4 a.m. Eastern to celebrate kids making a difference. We invite kids to share stories of those helping others. And teachers can share new school programs that are creating harmony amongst the kids. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids who are helping others.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
No, the core training in lion-hearted leadership has to do with alignment, aligning your heart with your head. Lion-hearted leadership training shows you how to reactivate your heart as a golden compass to achieve meaningful outcomes. Rational thinking alone cannot truly bring fulfillment. So when we did that brief meditation to open today's interview, that was part of what we did. So here we're talking with Isabel Dobrator, who is in an intensely male-dominated world where rational thought is critical to every action she takes. And I have to ask that question, how do you align your heart with your mind in that world, Isabel? You know, how do you spark? We know that your heart has been sparked by the lions, has really been ignited, and that it drives you and that it keeps you alive and fulfilled. But how do you align your heart with rational thought in an environment such as yours? on a daily basis?
It was hard in the beginning because I think I was just coming into this male-dominated industry as a co-pilot and just being only one of the 5% female pilots worldwide. It was hard to...
5%? 5%. You know, that says everything. I know you kind of personally and with your group of female co-pilots have changed that statistic, but we just need to stop for a second and look at the inequality, the imbalance in this world that Isabel inhabits like second nature. So wow, Isabel. So what drives you? What makes you unstoppable in bringing your heart into alignment in that world?
Well, it was amazing to see, like as I mentioned before in the beginning, it was really hard because we were trained to only follow our rational thoughts and how to act in emergencies and to just follow procedures and just follow the rules, basically, that are man-made. And they all have the right to be there, like those rules and procedures. And just a couple of years into my flying, I applied as a crew resource management instructor within the company. And that's a topic that talks about human factors, human errors, human issues on the flight deck and what can happen. And they've also transferred it now into hospitals to work with doctors and nurses, like where are human errors and working together. And when does the human factor come in case of fatigue or, you know, private problems, or how does it influence your decisions? And it's been amazing to see the impact that the training had on all the people and how the training itself has developed over the years. And just recently, when we get into an emergency that's not time critical, when you actually have time to rethink and reconsider options and talk to your colleague up on the flight deck about things, it gives you time and you go through certain steps. And they now actually, they made a stop bar in that procedure. They said, after the first three steps where you evaluate the situation, what's the problem? What's the issue? What are my options and what are my risks? They say, stop right there. And then they put the E in, which stands for emotions. And that hasn't been there in all the years of flying. Nobody ever talked about emotions. And that just happened recently. And I'm just so happy that I'm allowed to teach this and actually sit down with 90% of male colleagues in this classroom and say, that's the time when you have to sit back, breathe, and think about what's your heart saying. And is this the approach you want to take? And it's so hard for them because all they've done so far is being rational. And now there's this female pilot sitting in front of them and saying, you got to let your heart get into the decision-making. You have to have your emotions come with you. And you have to consider them and listen to them and then get your decision. And it's just incredible how the guys are working with that and how they're taking the advice and actually, you know, doing it in real day life. And I'm loving it. It's great.
So literally thinking with their hearts in that environment, aligning their hearts with their heads, and being much happier for it, no doubt.
Yeah, it helps them. And I think it gives them finally, it kind of gives them the okay. It's okay to listen to your heart, because I think before they thought, it's all about procedures, it's all about rules, it's all about how fast I act in case of an emergency. And now it's, what's my gut telling me? What's my heart telling me? And that's just, it's good. I think it helps them.
Beautiful. I mean, it's a reminder that that the laws of nature need to reinform human nature. I mean, they are not separate, but people have forgotten, forgotten the emotional side of their natures, which has caused so much imbalance. And the 5% to the 95% is one of those imbalances. Largely because women are so responsible for lives. That's what women do from the minute they have children. And in your case and my case, we haven't had children. I've had lion cubs, and you are responsible for so many people's lives on a daily basis. So I'm going to come to that eighth law of authentication, which is about gaining full responsibility. Now, lion-hearted leadership recognizes that true leaders gain power through responsibility, whereas false leaders seize power without responsibility. And the fact is, the word responsibility actually has to do with responding to a challenge, the ability to respond. And yay, that's definitely a dog who approves with that comment, for sure. Yeah,
sorry, that was just my dog.
Brilliant. Well, wholeheartedly agree. So, talking about responsibility, your whole career is about responsibility, the ability to respond, which makes you an authentic leader and a truly powerful person. So, can you speak to responsibility and let us understand what it means to have people's lives in your hands daily?
Well, one of the most important things for me is to, when I get on the aircraft and when the people are boarding and they're listening to the first announcement, like just a welcome announcement that comes from the flight deck, it's a huge responsibility to have, you know, all the truth in your voice so that people listen in the back and know, okay, she knows what she's doing and I'm in good hands. So I really put a lot of effort in my welcome speech when they get on the plane, when they board the plane, and make them feel comfortable and, you know, share the feeling with them that flying is fun and that we're going to see the world from a bird's eye view and that I'm going to do whatever it takes to save all of us if there should be any technical issue or any weather issue that comes along the way. So that's a great and good feeling to do that. And what else do I call responsibility is that just being a role model, being on social media, being on interviews on the television, you know, knowing that a lot of people are watching me and maybe some of them are waiting for me to say the wrong things or do the wrong or make the wrong decisions. I know that one of my main responsibilities is to be out there and to help girls and other women to unleash their lioness. So I try to do it on all levels. I try to do it on the flight deck. I try to do it on my private life. I try to do it when I'm in the media, when I'm asked about my career. I try to be as responsible as I can to, you know, show other girls that they can do whatever they want to do.
And that is responding to, that is the ability to respond to a huge gaping need in society for equality. So there again, you're stepping into authentic leadership and addressing issues, critical issues in our time, which is all about lion-hearted leadership. I am so proud of you. I'm beaming with pride. And, you know, and I can feel the lions here in the heartland doing the same. And I know we're running out of time now. So what I'm going to do to close, actually, is I'm going to read through the 13 laws of lion-hearted leadership quickly to remind our listeners what they are. And you pick one to speak to as our closing message for everyone. So, the 13 laws of lion-hearted leadership: origination, follow your footprint, appreciation, celebrate your nature, communication, share the raw, nurturance, encourage fresh growth, radiance, protect the lion heart, regeneration, serve Mother Earth, collaboration, find your pride, authentication, gain full responsibility, co-creation, live your dream, governance, steward your resources, liberation, uncage your gifts, aspiration, rediscover the stars, elimination, cleanse your kingdom. And so, Isabel, you know, those 13 laws are effective in different ways in helping us achieve positive outcomes. So is there one that you'd like to speak to with a closing message? I'm going to let you close today's sharing, because it's so inspirational and so powerful for everyone, not only women, but men out there, to see what can be achieved when we work with these principles and when someone truly, in her own unique way, exhibits lion-hearted leadership. So thank you so much for your interview, and I have no doubt that the lions and lionesses are very proud of you. To you, Isabel.
Thank you so much, Linda. It's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to come back to the Heartlands. And if I have to pick one of the lion-hearted laws for today's closing, it would be regeneration. It would be serve Mother Earth, because that's when I, that's what drove me to the Heartlands. That's what drove me to volunteer at the Global White Lion Protection Trust. And that drive alone made it possible for me to get introduced to the Lionhearted laws and get introduced to you and find my pride and meet the lions. And I think if we all get up in the morning and just think of one thing that we can do today that could serve Mother Earth, maybe changing the way we eat, changing the way we dress, changing the way we handle waste, changing the way take a bike, take the car, take the train, take the plane. Like, just think about how you can help Mother Earth, and Mother Earth is going to help you.
You have been listening to One United Roar for Lions and All of Nature, and this could well have been the most important listening hour of your life. We hope you've been informed, inspired, and ignited with the wonder and the oneness of all of life. You're now invited to join hearts and voices with the lions and all that they stand for, to roar your truth, to be a voice and a force for nature in the choices that you make every day and the way in which you live, think, and speak. Lionhearted Leadership and Dream Vision 7 Radio unite with you in one united roar. Join us again next week for another heart-opening experience.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.